This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.
Hello and welcome to The Pulse on URN. I'm David and today I'm joined by Demi, Charlotte, Nick, Shivani and our producer Harry. The first story today is from Demi and it's about Google's most recent development.
So Google's self-driving car system could soon be given the same legal definition as a human driver, paving the way for vehicles without steering wheels or pedals. The US National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which sets rules and regulations on America's roads, shared its thoughts in a letter to Google made public this week. Until now, any car without a human driver would not be considered roadworthy. However, in light of technological advancements, the NHTSA has changed its perspective. Google Boost, I think that's what it's called. It means Google's self-driving pod, which has no typical in-car controls, is one crucial step closer to being allowed on public roads. With the NHTSA's blessing, the car now fits the key criteria required to pass the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards test. The car basically uses a GPS to know their location and are equipped with sensors, lasers illuminating detection and ranging radar, high-powered cameras and learning algorithm software to know how close they are to another vehicle, as well as detecting the surrounding environment to identify signage, pedestrians, and cyclists near the car. The cars use the sensing capabilities and software to choose a safe speed, accelerate, brake, and make turns while anticipating other vehicles' actions to plan its movements. This means commuters can sit back, sleep, eat, or even play Candy Crush while the car does the driving for them. I believe that this is just a slippery slope because we're all going to get fat and lazy like in Wall-E, and I think it's a problem.
But you're going to get fat and lazy if you just drive a car anyway because you're not doing exercise just by steering the wheel.
It's some sort of exercise. I mean,
we do very different kinds of exercise.
I mean, I do more exercise when I'm sat in the passenger side of the car and I'm constantly going, reaching
bracing
out.
Bracing myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they will, like, if this is, it just starts here with, like, a self-driving car and the next thing you know, you just sort of go in your car and you're off to the McDonald's or In-N-Out or Five Guys drive-through.
What I do with my car anyway.
Yeah, am I not mistaken in thinking that that's also what people do with their current cars that they
I feel
have
like
to drive.
This could just lead to more self things, more
I
things
mean,
doing things on their own
make,
without us.
Wouldn't this,
like robots.
But I can see the advantages though.
I mean wouldn't this pave the way more for you to tell the car, go to McDonald's and pick me up a meal? Staying in your house.
No, I don't
new
think that
meaning
could.
To the word drive through.
The drive through already exists.
I think this sort of technology, it only takes one sort of mistake. If that car has one crash, then you know every.
They have had a couple crashes
really
actually, but
well,
apparently it's according to it was the fault of the drivers on the road who made a mistake and caused the Google car to sort of make mistakes and all that kind of stuff.
Well, this is it. If we said that about the car when it was invented, then we wouldn't all be driving cars, would we?
To be honest, these things are based on pods that are currently being used in Heathrow, I think, Terminal 4 and 5.
So they'll never get you where you want to go on time.
Well, I think that's well, that's funny. They have huge benefits. I think of people with disabilities maybe can't necessarily drive a car because they don't have the leg function, arm functions, vision. Like these could really empower people to start actually doing things without being so reliant on other people.
But how would they? If I don't have the leg function to drive a car, then I must not have the same leg function to walk. You just literally press
a pedal. Yeah, you get into your wheelchair. Okay. And you get into your car and then you tell the car where to take you and then you get out of the car in your wheelchair.
I just don't trust it. It's too much power to the machine.
Or for example, if you're blind and you have to rely on getting taxis because you can't get anywhere otherwise, I think you could have a lot more freedom.
Well, another question is how much is this going to cost? Like theoretically, it's going to cost you a lot of money. The people who need it probably wouldn't be able to get it.
I suppose that is a possibility, but then if it's the kind of thing that's being developed in partnership with a government agency, I reckon as soon as it becomes valid, as it were. So it goes into the kind of beta testing style, you know. It can't just be tested by people from Google. It has to be tested by people who would use the product.
Yeah.
Then it would probably go, I mean, be tested more likely.
And products become cheaper over the years anyway. Like, the first cars no one could afford, like, only the rich could afford, but it'll just go down in price as years go on and people become more interested in it, I guess. Like, having a new technology.
I still think it's a, like, driving is, like, quite a big responsibility. That's why no one can do it. That's why you have to be a certain age to even start learning, and you have to take two tests. I just think
in this
that,
country, of course.
Well, I mean, yeah,
it does differ all over the world.
True. You have to get your permit and
but
then you get
still,
the license.
I'm fairly sure that you still have to be able to take a test to be able to drive a car. It's still a big responsibility, and I still think that the human instinct survival will... I think you sort of need that when you're driving to avoid, like, big accidents. Yes, big accidents happen, but I still feel that you need a sort... You need a human behind the wheel just to be... I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna come in here, and I'm actually gonna support Nick in a sense that you've got, at the end of the day, what is a driverless car apart from a huge, huge computer that has been programmed to think of as many scenarios as possible that it might face on the road. Now, for as many scenarios it's been programmed for, there will be billions more that it hasn't. Mm-hmm. There have been examples when they did a crash test for when they first came out, because it's not the first time we've looked at driverless cars, because it's becoming more and more obvious that we seem to be going that way, that there was a group of children on the sidewalk and there was an elderly man in the driverless car. And the car crashed, and because the car struggled to decide whose human life was more valuable, its passenger or the children, it won't be able to make the definition that the people that sort of are walking along the road are children and are more valuable. If it means saving his passenger, it ran them over.
God, wow.
That is a field of ethics that computer scientists and other people who work in this sphere are going to have to take. But actually, if you think about it, that is the same decision that a human has to make in such an event.
And with human instincts the way they are, they would probably try and save themselves, because that's just naturally how our brains
probably
are wired.
Not in the case of children. No, not if you see children on the street.
Away.
You probably wouldn't...
Well, if it's a choice of you hitting someone or you hitting a tree or falling off a cliff, I'm pretty sure most people would choose to save themselves.
No.
I'm not
saying
you drive a car off a cliff.
Yeah. Okay. I think, to be honest...
You can get out of the car.
If you're in that scenario and you have to... If there is something in the road that you're going to hit, to be honest, if it was me, if it was children, if it was adults, if it was an animal, I'd... Like, if I could avoid... Like, if it was...
Avoidable.
If I was going to hit it, I'd swerve.
Yeah.
Just because
exactly.
That's the mindset.
But the car wouldn't swerve. The driverless car wouldn't swerve because it wouldn't understand that the people driving have more ahead of them than the elderly man in the car.
Mm.
And there have been so many more other issues with
it.
Think about how many cars there are in the world. In fact, after a song, I'd like you to get up a stat that shows how many cars, roughly, there are in the world. And then think how long it is going to take for countries to come round to the idea of not trusting... Of taking away all the cars and putting in driverless ones. Now, think of all the... Then think even further. Think about the jobs that people go to when they create a Ferrari or create a Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be able to create that kind of car at that kind of speed with a... Without a passenger, without a driver, because they'll feel that something in the industry and something in a car has been lost. It is no longer a Ferrari; it is a robot. And David, do you have the
stats? But just like you have eco cars, and people like Ferrari are not going to make eco cars because that will take away from the power of the engine. Yada yada yada. More car knowledge here. they're not necessarily going to become mainstream cars. These are cars for people who wouldn't be able to get about otherwise. These are cars that can be used to empower and help people. These are the kind of cars where if you had one, for example, and you're out and you're coming home at 3 a.m. because you work night shifts or something, and you're exhausted and you're shattered and you just need to get home, you're quite a high risk driving at night when you're tired.
There's also
a machine would be more safe.
There's also drivers who are under an influence of certain substances that, you know, cause damage on the roads already, and you are right that, you know, these would be negated, but it's a question that governments would have to face, that, you know, how many lives would it save versus how many could it cost? And people are always a lot more willing to stick to the status quo. In answer to Harry's question, they believe that the number exceeded 1 billion in the year 2010. And it's going to go up to 2 billion by the year 2035.
But how safe are all of these cars? Because I'm sure some of them are very old, and I'm sure they're not all exactly safe.
I will admit that it's a good idea for those of a disability, those that are in a wheelchair, yeah, those that are blind. That's good. However, unless you had the entire world go to driverless cars, there would still be accidents. There would still, because you have still have people on the road that drive just as dangerously. It's much better to create trams than it is to get driverless cars.
Trams can't get you exactly where you need to be when you need to be there, though.
Well, A and B, I mean, you only need it in a specific territory, assuming that the cars drive within said area. I mean, obviously, a car allows you to go anywhere around. So, say, a country. Say, it would probably be trialled in a smaller country first. Let's, I don't know, say Monaco. You know, they've got the money. They'd try it in Monaco. If it worked, they'd probably expand it to other slightly bigger countries, and then so on and so forth. And that would probably be the easier way of doing it. And you're right that if there are non-driverless cars on the road, then they could still cause accidents. But the point being that while there are non-driverless, while there are cars that are still being driven by a human, the potential for crashes is much higher than those that aren't. And the sooner you move away as much as possible from that, you know, because as we've said, these cars can communicate with each other to know where other cars are. That was one of the flaws in the first test that they did. That system failed and they crashed into each other. And people took that as being the system can't work. Whereas in reality, once you, in that science, you keep perfecting, you keep changing.
That would require a lot of years. You'd have to have a massive, massive number of driverless cars substantially decrease the amount of casualties.
Think how much computers communicate with each other already. This is just an extension of that.
I'm not saying it wouldn't work. I'm saying that
I don't think it would take as long as you think it would.
To implement driverless cars across the whole country?
Yes,
Because that's how you'd have to do it, because they couldn't communicate with cars as they are now. Not to a safe enough standard, anyway.
What about the people that want to drive motorbikes?
What do you mean?
What about the people that want to drive motorbikes? I mean, what do they do?
Yeah,
they drive their motorbikes.
Well, no, because they're now dangerous.
This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.